I'm blessed to have two L plates in my house at the moment, and I'm blessed to be driven around a fair bit by them. And as I'm driving around with them, it occurs to me, and it comes flooding back to me, the freedom that we have when we first get our driver's license. When we first get our license, it's a freedom. All of a sudden, we can drive to the coast, we can drive to the beach, to the city, down to the country, we can drive around to our friends' houses. I remember very clearly getting my license and driving my mum's front-wheel drive Aqua 1992 Laser around to the golf course and around to different places. It was free. We were able to do different things. But as I was driving around free and in my freedom, I realized that there were some things that shaped that freedom, some things that held that freedom in context, and they are some what we'd know now as road signs. And so you may have seen these road signs when you're driving around, and some of the road signs are ones that you have to follow. They're like set in place, they're concrete. That's the one on the left, the white and red and black one, 60 k an hour, don't drive over 60. And then the one on the right, the 45 k an hour around the bend, that's advisory. It's we advise you that that's a good speed to take. It's as long as you're inside the speed that the road is on. So if it's a 60 k an hour road and we're advising 45, well, that's an advisory sign. And so we have the ones that are set, the 60 k one. We have that for the safety of ourselves and for the safety of other people on the side of the roads and the houses that are around that space. And it's set rock solid so that we can drive safely. And enjoy our freedom, and not just our freedom, but other people's freedom as well. Then you've got the advisory one. And I remember the first time I realized that I hadn't taken the advice well. And that was driving into the city. For those of you who lived on the south side of Perth, if you were driving on a Leach Highway and you wanted to head north on the freeway, you would used to do a turn. You still do a little turn. You go down and around under the bridge. It's a much bigger turn these days. In the older day, about 30-odd years ago, it was a tight turn, no car park in the middle like it is now. So very tight and a bit of a blind turn as well. I remember the advisory sign there, and I'm thinking, well, I think that's good advice, but I think I could probably go a little bit quicker than that. And I remember as I went around there and I hit a bit of wet, a bit of something on the road, the car spun right around, and all of a sudden I'm facing back into where the traffic would be coming from on this blind turn. And I had that moment that many of us have had where your heart starts to pump and you think, oh my goodness, I'm going to, and you quickly put it in reverse and you get it around. Unfortunately, there was no other car coming that way. But as I reflect on that, and as I matured in my driving, I understood that, hey, sometimes following advisory signs is not just about my freedom, but also about the freedom of others around me. If I follow, if I don't adhere to that and I go too quick, I can end up causing less freedom for the people coming behind me who may hit me. As I'm driving along with others in the car who are maybe not as mature as me, they watch where I'm driving. And if I'm pushing limits and going as fast as I can, not taking advice from the road directory, from the roads, you know, they're gonna respond in similar ways, but with less maturity and less understanding and maybe less skill in doing that. And so we have these situations on our road for our freedom that are some that are rock solid and then some that are advisory. And in the same way, the scriptures talk about our freedom in Christ and living in freedom in Christ. And there's some things that are rock solid and there's some things that are advisory. And Paul, in his letter to 1 Corinthians, we've been talking about that the last couple of weeks. Joe preached so wonderfully well on the mind of Christ last week that we have. As we have the mind of Christ, we read the scripture, it's really important as we live out the freedom that we have in Christ, that we know what is rock solid and what is advisory, and then how do we live out our freedom in that, not just in isolation, but in the freedom of a community of believers. So if you've got your Bible, I'd love you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. We're going to read a little bit of scripture. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says this: I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of the conscience. I am referring to the other person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something that I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jew, Greek, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Now, Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth. Corinth is one of the early churches that are starting up through the region. As Christ has come, died, rose again, ascended, the word is going out. And Paul is one of the missionaries. He's setting out and he's starting churches all around the place. The Corinth is one of those churches, and he's writing to the church at Corinth. As Joe so well put it last week, Corinth is a fast-paced city. It's intellectually upward. It is morally liberal. In many ways, it's like the Western society that we live in today. And so Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, talking about Christian living. And you know, when I realized that when Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, he's not broadcasting to the wider community. He's talking to the people in the church. And so you read Corinth and you read about all these things that he's talking about, and this is what's happening in the church. As people in the church, we are also affected by the culture around us. And Paul wants to speak to us about these things and say, hey, live because of the cross. Live because of Christ in a world that is confused. Here's some wisdom. Here's some life study, life skill that'll help you live. And today he wants to speak about the freedom that we have in Christ. Paul is saying we don't live by the law, the rules, and the regulations of the time, but we live by trusting and following Christ in that space. Freedom doesn't live in isolation. It is always accompanied by responsibility and consequences. So when Paul's speaking to the church at Corinth, he's speaking to a church that is partly Jew, mainly Gentile, but a church that is influenced heavily by the Jewish culture. And the culture of the Jewish of the day is the Old Testament covenant. And the Old Testament covenant is bound by the 613 rules that make up the law. And so the Jewish culture of the day was, if I follow the law, if I do the right thing, if I say the right thing, then I will have connection with God. And if I do the wrong thing, then there is a sacrificial system that paves the way for me to have connection with God. And so they would wear garments, and on the corner of each garment, they would have tassels known as tzitzit, and they would remind them of all the laws. And so the law reminded them of what they were doing wrong, but it also reminded them of what to do in terms of following after God. It was very law-bound, and as long as they followed the law, as long as they kept the regulations and they did the right thing and then abided by the sacrificial system, they had connection with God. But then along came Jesus. And Jesus comes along as the atoning sacrifice. We know that Jesus took the sin of the world when he died on the cross, that he rose again, defeating death, and that he lived amongst us, then ascended and sent the Holy Spirit. But with the coming of Christ, the atoning sacrifice, we became, those who call on the name of Jesus, are set free from the law of sin and death, because Christ fulfilled the law in his coming. Christ fulfilled the law in his dying as a sacrifice for us. Christ fulfilled the law in his very being. And so those who call on the name of Jesus now, in the church in Corinth and in us today, we no longer live by the law, but we live to Christ, and we live to Christ's life in us. And so we know that when Jesus died on the cross, there are some things from the Old Testament, some law that stopped at the cross. It was fulfilled in that space. We know there's some things that carried on through the cross, and we know there's some things that are magnified by the cross. But we live unto Christ in the freedom of Jesus Christ, in the freedom of what he has given us. We don't live bound by the law. And Paul, in this letter to the Corinthians, he wants to make it clear that we live in freedom. We live in the freedom, but freedom has responsibility and it has consequences. It's not just freedom willy-nilly, go ahead and do whatever you like. Although, as we read, some of the people in Corinth thought that, but it comes with consequences and it comes with responsibility. Jesus wants to set us free from the things of the law, but he wants to live unto him and submit it in his space. And this living in the freedom, it's a problem in the early church. This problem of being caught by the law and caught in freedom, the wrestle and the tug of war, it was a problem for the early church, and it's a problem for us even today. But we see it in Galatians chapter 2. Peter, who the great apostle, he's understands who Christ is. He's received Christ and he's living amongst the Gentiles. And he's living amongst them, but then he hears that there's some Jews who are coming down to be with them. And so all of a sudden he's been eating with the Gentiles as one in Christ, but under Jewish law he's not meant to be with them. So as soon as the Jews turn up, he goes, oh my goodness, I'm not going to eat. And he stops eating with them. And then he starts suggesting that even though you came to faith through Jesus Christ, you actually need to be circumcised as well. And Paul comes along in Galatians chapter 2 and says, this is hypocrisy. This is ridiculous. This is silly. You don't need to add things to them. Let them live in the freedom that they received through the person of Jesus Christ. And so we see other stories through the New Testament where this becomes a wrestle. And Paul is eager that we don't live in the hypocrisy, but that we live with freedom and the authenticity that comes with freedom. It's his call for the church at Corinth. It's also what he desires for us today. And so when it comes to living in freedom, there are hard signs and there are advisory signs. And it's really important for us to know the difference. It's helpful for us as people living under Jesus Christ and in his freedom to know the difference between the two. And so we read through this scripture and we see that some people are saying this. Some people are saying, I can do anything. I can do whatever I like. I can do anything. And Paul says, but not everything's beneficial. And they say, well, I have the right to everything, anything. I have the right to do whatever I want. But Paul says, but I won't be mastered by anything. And this thinking, this belief system that says I can now do anything because Christ died for it, doesn't matter what I do, I'm free to do whatever I want. Paul actually addresses in the church at Rome. In Romans chapter 6, he says this, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were also baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we'll certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. We've been given life, for we know that the old was self-crucified with him, so that the body, fueled by sin, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. The death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but you're under grace. What was happening is people saying, I can do anything. It doesn't matter because I live under the grace of Jesus Christ. Grace has came to us. The origin of freedom is in grace. It's in the grace that Christ has, that Christ paid the price for our life. And so sin for the believer is no longer a salvation issue, but it becomes a sanctification issue. It's not through our doing that we are saved. It's through our grace that we are saved. And through the death of Jesus Christ, we are justified by him. So therefore, what is sin for the believer? Sin is an issue of sanctification, which is learning to live out what that salvation looks like every day in the locations that you have been placed. So we're working out what it is to live with him and without sin in our life. So sin is anything that's pursuing anything, mind, body, and spirit, that's not of Christ. And when we do that, what's happening? If it's not about our salvation, it's about destroying our life as we know it here in earth, the very life that Christ gave us. Sin in our life allows the opportunity for this life to be destroyed. The Bible says that the devil prowls around like a lion looking to seek, kill, and destroy. It says that as we sin, we create a foothold for the devil to get a hold in our life. And therefore, it's not an issue of salvation, but it's an issue of destroying life as we live it in the freedom of Christ, taking away the liberties that you have in Christ, leaving you oppressed, leaving you tied down, leaving you bound. That is what the option of sin in your life today is. So it's not a salvation issue. It's an issue of destroying life as you know it now. And God wants you to live in the freedom that comes with Christ Jesus, not be bound by things that are not of Him. And so we say, can I do anything? Can I do anything? Yeah, you can. But put before you is the decisions of life and death. And the scripture says, choose life. Can I be saved and cheat on my wife? Well, yes, you can if you want to risk ruining your life, the very life that Christ gave you. Can I still be saved and steal and covet from my neighbor? Well, yes, you can if you want to risk damaging the very life that Christ died for you to have now. He calls you to choose life, and choosing life is in freedom. So we choose freedom, we choose life. We choose to live in the freedom that Christ has given us. But Paul is far as much interested about your freedom in your life right now. He's just as much interested in freedom for you as someone who lives in community. Because we don't live in isolation. Paul calls us to live for, Jesus calls us to live for Him in the context of community. And so this freedom piece is not just about you living in freedom, but it actually is about living in freedom in the context of the people around you, that all may come to know Jesus and that Jesus' name might be lifted up by all people. Paul is not interested in the way you live for you. We don't live for Christ in isolation. You might be free, but Paul is now saying you live to the limit of others' understanding. You live to the limit of others' understanding around you. So what's happening in this scripture? Well, if we read this scripture, what we had in chapter 10, it says this. After it says, I have the right to do anything, eat anything sold in the meat market, what's happening is that there is sacrifice, pagan sacrifice of meat happening for gods. So there's people who they're worshipping gods, and as part of their worship of gods, they get meat, they get the sheep, they get the cow, and they worship by sacrificing that to the gods. Then what happens is downstream, after the worship has happened, they get rid of the meat by selling it in the local market. And what Paul's saying to the people is, you're free to eat of the meat in the market. Don't be involved in the worship of gods, little g, but because we worship the God, big G, everything is a gift from everything has been sanctified to Him, we give thanks to Him, you are free to eat of that meat. You are free of conscience to eat of the meat as long as you're not involved in the worship of gods. And so there's this situation that is happening that we read in that space. So it says the hard law, if you like, and that is don't involve yourself in pagan worship because you still have only one God. But if you decide that you want to eat the meat on offer, go for it. Give praise to God because everything on this earth is the Lord's and everything in it. However, if in doing this you're going to be a stumbling block for people who don't have the other understanding or don't feel the freedom to eat that meat, or if you're eating in a house and someone says this has been sacrificed to gods, don't eat it. Abstain from it. And if you can't abstain from it, then you need to ask yourself, am I mastering this or is it mastering me? If we can't go without something, then I would suggest that it has mastery over us. And so it says in chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians, it's obviously a bit of an issue because they like to make mention of it, but it says in verse 7 of chapter 8, but not everyone possesses the knowledge. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat sacrificial food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to a god. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone with a weak conscience sees you Will, with all your knowledge, eating in the idol's temple, won't that person be emboldened to eat what is sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother or sister for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. You can read what's happening here. But as I read that, I think to myself, I don't know that we do much sacrificing of meat to idols. I don't think you can go down to the Malaga beef market and say, how was that sacrificed? Obviously, we don't openly do worship to pagan gods. It probably does happen in Perth behind doors and no one really sees it. But this option of eating meat. So what does this mean for you and for me today? What does this actually mean for us as Christians today? This living out our freedom around other people. Living out our freedom in a way that doesn't cause my weaker brother and my weaker sister to stumble. Living out my freedom in a way that brings glory and honor to God. Well, let's use the one of drinking alcohol because that's an easy hit and we can all understand that. Well, if we read the scriptures around drinking alcohol, there's some hard lines and there's some advisory lines. So as I read it, it says, don't be drunk on wine, but be drunk on the Spirit. Okay, so don't be drunk on wine, but be drunk on the Spirit. It says, by all things, by prayer and petition, bring your concerns and your worries to God and He'll protect your heart and your mind. So don't medicate your anxiety and medicate your concerns and your worry with alcohol. Bring those things to God. Okay. Romans 13 says, make sure that you're subject to the government law. So if you're under 18 and the government says don't drink before you're 18, then you're not subject to the government law. So in the context, as I put those advisory things in place, and I read here that Paul says to Timothy, a little bit of wine is actually good for your stomach. As I read that, I am free to have pinot noir with my steak. I am free to have a beer at the football. I am in freedom to do that. However, I also read the scriptures that say, don't do something that is going to bring in a space that is going to bring in concern or bring your weaker brother down. So as I think about where I'm going to have a drink, I think, am I sitting at a table that is majority underage young people? Am I sitting at a table where somebody on my table doesn't know the limit between one glass and many bottles? Am I sitting at a table with someone who's a recovering alcoholic and is offended? Am I sitting with someone who has a different thought pattern on the issue of alcohol than I do? That may advise how I live out my freedom in Christ. And I talk about that one because that's an easy hit, but it's not just about alcohol. It's about how I think, how I act, how I respond, how I talk. How do I live out my freedom in the context of community when not everybody is in the same place that I might necessarily be? How do I live out my freedom in the context of community where other people might be not as mature in their faith as me? Well, the scripture says, if that's the case, abstain. Why? Don't do. Why? Because the scripture calls for us that God's name would be lifted up, that God would be glorified through everything I do. It says, so whenever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jew, Greek, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good in many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul calls for us to live in the freedom that comes from Jesus Christ. We're not to abuse the freedom and give the devil an option to pull our life down and destroy the very freedom that Christ died for. Paul talks about the freedom of Christ, not that we could live for our own pleasure and our own gain and just to fulfill ourselves and so that we're all happy and good in ourselves, but He gave me freedom that I might live the joyous life of Jesus Christ in the context of community, that all might be brought to maturity and that Jesus' name may be lifted up. That's in all that we do. We don't need to live by law. We're saved by grace. Isn't that good? Tassels don't look very good on my shirts anyway. We're saved by grace. But that grace, that freedom that comes through grace is not to be abused. It is to be used for the glorification of God. He calls us into relationship. We're no longer under law, but we're under the person of Jesus Christ. Wow, such freedom. Such freedom. And I love the way Paul puts it. He gives us the mind of Christ we learned about last week. Life stops being about a ticker box. Do this, don't do that, do this, be this. No, it's about Christ, what would you do? Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, how would I submit myself unto you that all might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? That's living in freedom. And when you live like that, you don't have a conscience problem. You are free and free indeed. And I want to encourage you as we live out that way as a community. Let me pray for us today, and we're going to sing a song of worship to finish up. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. Father, just as Paul has encouraged us this morning with his letter, Father, may we live out that freedom for ourselves, for the life that you have given us. May we live in the freedom that came from you, that our lives might be full of joy. Our lives might be full of you. And Father, that your name might be lifted up from the way that we live. Father, today, for each one of us, would you remind us, would you show us that our lives are not in isolation, but this freedom that we live unto you, that others might come to know you, that others may see the way to live, to bring glory to your name. Father, today, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Father, today, I pray that we wouldn't just walk away here thinking, oh, that was a message about drinking, not about drinking at all, but about submission to the freedom that comes in you. Help us to know, Lord, your advisory words. Help us to know your harder words. And may we continue to submit our lives to you, Father. In your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen.